So I'd like you to join me and we'll say the 23rd Psalm, King James Version. And just if you don't have it memorized, just come along as you will. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. I'll encourage you to memorize Psalm 23. The King James Version is pretty easy to memorize, so I like that one a lot. I noticed that for the offertory anthem, we have the lyrics in the 23rd Psalm noted in the bulletin, but it has a bit different phrasing on one of the phrases there. So I would encourage you to look up the King James Version and memorize the 23rd Psalm. That can be very effective in our prayer life. It reminds us who Jesus is, reminds us who we are, and is a great comfort in the Christian life. They have... Today we call in the church the second Sunday of Easter, the second Sunday after Easter. We call it Good Shepherd Sunday. And that's because of the propers. So if you look at the epistle lesson and the gospel lesson, in the epistle lesson, St. Peter speaks about Jesus being the shepherd of the chief bishop and shepherd of our souls. And then, of course, in the gospel lesson, Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. So he takes upon himself the title that God had proclaimed through the prophets that he was the shepherd of Israel. Hear, O thou shepherd of Israel, thou that guidest Jacob like a flock. He took the title that God had applied to himself through the prophets in the Old Testament and made the declaration that he himself, Jesus, said, I am the good shepherd. And he shows us the nature of the good shepherd. He is the one who is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And the close association he has, the unity he has with the Father, speaks of that desire that he will protect the sheep, yea, even with his life by laying it down. Jesus is the good shepherd. And we see in the back to the epistle lesson that following Christ, we will come into times of suffering. We are actually called to that. Jesus walked the path of suffering all the way to the cross. And he says to those who will follow him, pick up your cross and follow me. And so we follow the Lord Jesus, and there will be times when we will not suffer for our own sin's sake, but we will suffer for righteousness' sake. But following him, we will find in it a blessing. If we do as Christ did, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't return evil for evil. Instead, he committed himself to God, who will bring justice with righteousness. And he was willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. So same with us. If we're led along that path, let us receive it and find in it a blessing. The saints will testify to this. It's saints with a capital S, that in that kind of suffering for righteousness' sake, there is a blessing. But Jesus will be with us the entire time. There is the good shepherd. Christ, the good shepherd, will lead us, even in times of sorrow and pain, into the place where we should be. And to recite the 23rd Psalm is very helpful to us because it reminds us who Jesus is and who we are and of his close proximity to us and how we are not alone in the life that we're living. So if you look at the 23rd Psalm, you'll see in it definite prefigurations, if you will, or where it points to what Christ will establish in his ministry. So, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I will lack nothing. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means I will lack for nothing. I won't have any lack. He will provide for my every need. And what kind of What kind of provision does he make? Well, he leads me beside still waters. This should make us think about baptism. It is in baptism that a person, their sins are forgiven, they're reconciled to God, they experience salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell them, and then they experience that peace that passes human understanding. And that peace that passes human understanding can only come through Christ. Now, everybody is seeking some kind of rest, some kind of peace. And we oftentimes look for it in the world, but the world cannot give it. This is a peace that the world cannot give. So what does the world recommend? Well, it's going to try and bring peace to us by, you know, there is no diet or exercise, no nutritional program, no, perfect sleep hygiene that is going to give us peace. It doesn't come through adjusting all the dials of upbringing of a child and their education to bring them into a place of peace. It doesn't come through politics. There may be a promise of peace if we vote for a particular politician or their party, but we know that doesn't bring lasting peace. Might bring a political season where there's more peace, less warfare, for example, but it can't bring us peace here in our hearts. The only place we can find that is in Christ, and it is his will that we have that peace. It is his sacred and blessed will that we receive that. And he brings it to us in this gift of the baptism, in the still waters of baptism, receive that grace, that gift. And we also see the allusion to and the pointing toward that other gift that Christ will give, which is the sacrament of Holy Communion. And so here again is that gift. We see, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup runs over. So here is that gift of grace that God is giving to us for our spiritual nourishment, that all that is lacking will be provided on the spiritual level. We have the grace, the strength, the sustenance of Christ who feeds us with his own body and blood in the Holy Communion under the forms of bread and wine. And so here is that gift of grace that Christ establishes in the sacrament of the Holy Communion. And then we also see the allusion to, the pointing toward, the gift of grace that is given through the sacraments of confirmation. Chrismation, when a person is baptized, they're christened. Their head is anointed with oil in the form of the cross. We receive this child into the Christ flock and do sign him or her with the sign of the cross. And the priest will take oil blessed by the bishop and make the sign of the cross on the forehead of the baptismal candidate. And then in confirmation, when the bishop lays hands on and conveys the strengthening grace of the Holy Spirit, again, there is the mark of the cross on the forehead. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So this points to that those sacraments of grace that the church affords where we are strengthened in our earthly pilgrimage. So today, let us give God humble thanks for Christ, our good shepherd. Let us come to that place of receptivity and openness to the graces he will give, and following him, our good shepherd, follow him all through our life to the verdant pastures of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.